Welcome to the A Catholic Life Podcast. I am Matthew, the author of A Catholic Life, welcoming you to episode 28 of the A Catholic Life Podcast. In today's episode for the 13th Sunday after Pentecost, I address the following two topics. First, a reminder about the practice of St. Michael's Lent. We're currently in it right now, and I'd like to discuss it for a few minutes, what it is and what it is not, as well as some of the history of it. And secondly, I address some of the upcoming feast days this week, including several other saints, like we've discussed in the past, who have unfortunately fallen by the wayside since Vatican II and are no longer remembered by the vast majority of Catholics. But before I do so, I'd like to stop and thank the sponsor for today's episode. This episode is sponsored by PrayLatin.com. PrayLatin.com offers Latin prayer cards to learn and share prayers in the sacred language. Learn your basic prayers in Latin conveniently on the go. Practice your pronunciation with easy-to-follow phonetic renderings of Latin words. PrayLatin.com offers prayer cards in various formats, including Latin English rosary pamphlets with the traditional 15 mysteries. Shop for additional Latin resources like missal booklets, server response cards, and much more. Please visit PrayLatin.com today and support this important organization. On to the first topic, though, of today's episode. I'd like to briefly discuss the practice of St. Michael's Lent. It has been a practice that has gotten a bit more popular over the past years, especially with some major organizations really encouraging men to get more into the practice. What exactly is it? Now, St. Michael's Lent is actually a historical fasting and penitential period. It has never been entirely practiced throughout the Universal Church. It was never one of obligation, but it was practiced by the Franciscans. So St. Bonaventure, who himself was a Franciscan, records in his biography, written around 1260 AD, how St. Francis of Assisi was brought up after many toils under a high mountain apart called Mount Alverna, when, according to tradition, he kept there a Lent, that is a fasting period, in honor of St. Michael the Archangel. And St. Francis was filled unto overflowing with the sweetness of heavenly contemplation, and it was during this period of this Lenten-like observance that he famously received the stigmata. He was the first recorded person we have of receiving the stigmata, and it is commemorated liturgically by the Church on each year on September 17th. Additionally, the Little Flowers of St. Francis, a collection of stories about St. Francis that was compiled during the 13th century, records these words of St. Francis of Assisi to his brethren, quote, "My sons, we are drawing nigh to our 40-day fast of St. Michael the Archangel, and I firmly believe that it is the will of God that we keep this fast in the mountain of Alvernia, that which, by divine dispensation, hath been made ready for us, to the end that we may, through penance, merit from Christ the consolation of consecrating that blessed mountain to the honor and glory of God and his glorious mother, the Virgin Mary, and of the holy angels," end quote. As mentioned, this fasting period, which began actually on the Assumption, August 15th, and ends on the Feast of St. Michael the Archangel on September 29th, was never one of obligation. Now, those who want to practice it should, of course, exclude Assumption Day itself and all Sundays, as these should never be days of fasting. Although, of course, we can still abstain any day of the week, really, even on Sundays, since it was obligatory for Lent, actually, for centuries. It would not be appropriate for us to fast on Assumption Day or on Sundays. Now, since this is a purely devotional fast and there's really no historical basis to go off of in terms of the Church legislating things, what we can do is, like the Assumption fast, use a standard of, if we're choosing to observe this, have one meal a day and allow ourselves up to one frustulum, that is a morning snack, and up to one collation, an evening snack. Those would be good rules to follow. If you don't want to go the whole distance with this practice, though, you might want to consider fasting on Wednesdays, Fridays, and or Saturdays as well, or observing at least additional abstinence on Wednesdays and Saturdays, in addition, of course, to mandatory Friday abstinence from meat year-round, as a way for us to add some sort of discipline during this time and to thank God for the immense gift of St. Michael the Archangel, the Prince of the Heavenly Host. May he continue to drive out the demons from the church and from our society. I'll have a link in the show notes for those who would like to learn more about St. Michael's Lent. But looking ahead this week to our second topic, the feast days which we celebrate this week, tomorrow, August 28th, is the feast of St. Augustine, the illustrious and glorious doctor of the Church. His conversion through the prayers of his mother, St. Monica, illustrates to all of us the necessity to never cease praying for the conversion of our family and friends, even after years of seemingly unanswered prayers. St. Monica prayed almost her entire life, her son finally converted not long before her death, and she thankfully was able to see that in this life, but it almost seemed like her prayers were not being answered. So as we pray for our friends, for our family, for those who have fallen away from the faith, those who have never known it, we should never grow lax in our devotions and in our prayers for this intention. God hears us, and in his time, he will answer us. But we must do our part and continue to beseech Almighty God through the intercession of Our Lady that we can bring about the conversion of other souls. So St. Augustine's life teaches us that. And he, of course, went on to be one of the Church's greatest and most illustrious writers, one of the first doctors of the Church. In addition, though, on August 28th, we also invoke St. Hermes. He is one of those saints that, as I mentioned before, is not very popular. Most people don't know him. Few people are likely aware that we as Catholics invoke St. Hermes. And he, of course, is not to be confused at all with the fictitious mythological deity of the same name. St. Hermes was actually a real person. He was a martyr with companions in Rome, and they suffered under the hands of a judge named Aurelian. They're mentioned in the Acts of Pope St. Alexander I, and it's believed that he suffered martyrdom for the faith in the year 132. So let's call to mind his patronage and his example, since he died for the faith of Christ, and seize him in heavenly glory. Tuesday is the feast day where we celebrate the martyrdom of St. John the Baptist. He was the one that baptized our Lord, Jesus Christ, and prepared his way by baptizing people in repentance. On August 29th, we recall his death. Devotion to St. John the Baptist has been widespread for centuries, and according to Father Pius Parsh in the Church's Year of Grace, this day commemorates the second finding of his most venerable head. As he writes, quote, "In the year 362, pagans desecrated the grave and burned his remains. Only a small portion of his relics was able to be saved by monks and sent to St. Athanasius at Alexandria. The head of the saint is venerated at various places," end quote. Now, the martyrdom of St. John the Baptist is recounted in the Gospel according to St. Matthew, chapter 14, verses 3 through 12. It would be important on this Tuesday for us to say a prayer to St. John the Baptist's intercession, that he can lead us closer to Jesus Christ, our Lord and Master. And like St. John, may we be willing to stand true to the faith and true Christian morality, even if it means our own martyrdom, as we're unfortunately finding is going to likely be the case for many people as the centuries continue on. We also may want to pray the litany of St. John the Baptist. Now, this is a litany for private, not public use. I've talked about that before. There's only a few litanies approved by the Church for public recitation. Everyone else is private. The litany of St. John the Baptist, which is linked to from my article on the martyrdom of St. John the Baptist, is a private litany. I'll also have information in the show notes for public versus private litany, since that's something I don't think gets a whole lot of discussion, and it's something I'd like more Catholics to be aware of, especially those who are leading public prayers before or after Mass or in public places, for them to know about that. Fast-forwarding on, when we come to the next day, August 30th, is the traditional feast day in honor of St. Rose of Lima. She was the first canonized saint of the Western Hemisphere and was a Dominican lay tertiary who worked to evangelize the Indians. Her parents wanted her to marry, but she wanted to remain single and dedicate her life to Christ. St. Rose not only prayed for hours each day, but took care of orphans and the elderly that needed help, and she was friends with St. Martin de Porres and St. John Macias. In her life of penance, many people viewed her highly, and she was a member of the Third Order of St. Dominic. Now at the age of 5, St. Rose devoted her life to God and served in thrall of her trials. She was born to Spanish immigrants and was a beautiful girl, and at a young age she used pepper and lice, though, to ruin her complexion, so she would not be viewed as attractive to help her vow of chastity to remain. She had a great devotion to St. Catherine of Siena, and she wore roses around her head, but underneath them was a crown of thorns. It was her secret penance, though she desired to make up penance and to do penance for souls. She was tortured physically by the devil and scolded by her family, but she thought them mistreating her better than she deserved. For 15 years she suffered spiritual abandonment until her death, when she received the companionship of Our Blessed Lady and her guardian angel. St. Rose of Lima even had the invisible stigmata. Her feast day, as I said, is August the 30th. August 31st is the feast of St. Raymond Nonnatus, not, of course, to be confused with St. Raymond of Peñafort. He was born to a noble Spanish family in the year 1204. He was well-educated, and his father planned a career for Raymond in the royal court of Aragon. But St. Raymond felt drawn to religious life. His father ordered him to manage one of his family farms, though, so he spent his time with the shepherds and the workers, studying and praying until his father gave up the idea of making his son a success in the eyes of the world. St. Raymond was ordained a priest, receiving the habit from St. Peter Nolasco, the founder of the Mercenarian Order. St. Raymond would become the master general of the order, and as a member of the order, he spent his entire fortune ransoming Christians from Muslim captors, and then he surrendered himself finally as a hostage to free another. Sentenced to death by impalement, he was spared because of his large ransom value. Imprisoned and tortured, he still managed to convert some of his guards. To keep him, though, from preaching the faith, his captors bore a hole through his lips with a hot iron, and there attached a padlock so he could not continue to speak the name of Christ. St. Raymond was eventually ransomed and returned to Barcelona, Spain, in the year 1239. He was created a cardinal of the church by Pope Gregory IX. Although even a cardinal, St. Raymond continued to live as a mendicant monk. He died en route to Rome to answer a papal summons on August 31st, 1240. May his prayers help bring about the ransoming of so many held slavery today to the devil and to sin. September 1st is the feast of St. Giles, who was born in Athens in Greece and became very famous, in fact, because of the life he lived of penance as a hermit. In fact, there used to be many churches all throughout Spain dedicated to St. Giles. Unfortunately, his feast day was eliminated post-Vatican II, so most people don't know about him. He died on September 1st in the year 710 and is traditionally remembered each year on September the 1st. I'll have a link in the show notes for those who want to learn a little bit more about his story and about his example in life. And then finally, September 2nd is the feast day of St. Stephen, King of Hungary. We also can learn much from him and from his life. And as I mentioned, for those who'd like to learn more to really live out liturgical life, please see the show notes where I have thorough information on all the saints we celebrate each day. That's a brief overview of the upcoming feast days coming up this week. I hope and wish all of you a most blessed end to this month of August, August dedicated to the Immaculate Heart of Mary. It would thus be a wonderful month for us to continue to pray this week. Prayers in honor of her Immaculate Heart, may it truly triumph, and through the intercession of all the saints we celebrate this week, may we help bring about the greater increase of penance and the conversion of sinners. Thank you for all listening. May God bless you, grant you a most blessed week. Ad Maiorem Dei Gloriam. Quid olis peccata?